start.
Yeah, talking. However you want. We're good. These microphones aren't the best, so you do kind of have to, like, stay on them. Actually, let me...
Wear headphones.
If you want, yeah.
Stop this. You're better.
Let me see. I'm one, you're two. Yeah. Yeah, so it's good to go.
Cool.
Definitely, you got to be, like, right in it.
Yep,
like,
they're right here.
For this office and how great it is, these microphones stink.
You think they would put together a state-of-the-art studio with some good mics, but...
Like, the door isn't soundproof. Like, a very early episode I was recording, and they were doing, like, a geography bee out there, and they had a bell, and you could just hear a ding every so often, and people were like, did you record this on a Starbucks? Like, what's happening here?
I used to work at EEI, and they're like the worst technology ever. Their freaking soundboard was from 1975, and like I literally saw an ad for a brand new soundboard in like an old magazine. It was from 1980, and that was the exact one they had at EEI. And it's just like, yep, that was not a fun time. But
unsurprising.
Yeah, unsurprising that the unwilling to spend money on just basic things that a radio station would need.
What did you do over there?
I was a producer of like the midday show when it was Merloni, Fourier, and Tim Benz.
Okay.
That fucking sack of shit. It was a miserable experience. I just screened calls during Deflategate, which was I came out of college like, man, I'm going to do sports media. It's going to be amazing. And then just that like broke my spirit of every single day. Either a dude saying like, I was like working on tires for 45 years, so I know everything about air pressure. Or, like everyone has their theory of like why it happened or like the conspiracy. And it's just like, we had full lines every day, so of course we had to talk about it, but it was just, my God, it was so goddamn stupid.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it made us a lot of money, so it's hard to complain about, but, like, I can't believe that was a story, like, at any point.
And sports talk radio is inherently just, like, dumb. Like, it's a medium in which you can't have, like, a good discussion, even a relatively entertaining discussion, because you got to hit an ad break, like, real quick, and you're limited in what you can say, so it's just, like...
I used to work security before I got here. Like I dropped out of UMass, I got a security job immediately, and I used to work at like in the Shaw's parking lot, right next to the JFK stop over in Dorchester there. And I used to just sit there during the midday, and like I was never a sports hub guy. I just grew up on EEI, and that was when Merloni and Mutt were the midday show.
Yeah.
And I used to call in, and I think it was Pat O'Day was their producer.
Patio Furniture. He's the man, yeah.
Yeah, so I, like, he just knew me because I would call in every day. So he would, like, recognize me, and he'd be like, all right, we're about to hit a break, and then we'll come back with you. Because I was the only person who would call in and make any fucking sense.
Yeah, no, sounds about right.
So they would literally, like, move me to the top of the call line. They would tell Mutton, Coley's on, and they'd give me a whole segment to just talk about whatever I want, because it would be, like, saving their day.
If you get one good caller, it makes your whole hour just because it's like normally it's just fucking nonsense. Like the bar of being a productive caller is very low.
Right.
And so if you're at all competent and try to be a little bit funny.
I would just be so infuriated with like a previous call that I would hear that was just such like a terrible. And I know they have to like, they can't like shit on every single caller because otherwise it just gets repetitive. But if I heard like a really bad one, I wouldn't even like call out the guy. I would just like attack that guy's take and like they would be like dying. And it would be like, yeah, you call in whatever. I'm shocked EEI never like offered me a job because it was every day for like a year. And I'd call into Planet Mikey at night too because that was the easiest show to get on.
Oh, yeah. Well, Planet Mikey is just like a trip in itself. It's just Mikey coming back to the studio in between breaks, clearly stoned out of his gourd. Just like,
oh, yeah.
You have only one producer. You're just basically fucking around the entire time. That was like the most fun. It's like, but I tried to move up in the world and get it on the midday show. And then it was just like, basically, I was like a less than producer and associate producer. So I had to listen to all the bullshit takes, but then just like my mic was never potted up, so I couldn't even join the conversation. It's like, this is fucking annoying. So, but luckily through that, I started just going to Celtics game and getting media credentials, and I wrote for the website like game recaps that no one ever read because who
EEI
reads?
EEI or the Celtics website?
EEI.com. Yeah. No one reads a game recap, but it allowed me to go. And then I just started podcasting because I think my thoughts are important, apparently. But,
yeah.
And then just transitioned into doing this stuff. So it's worked out pretty cool. I get to go to the games now, so.
Yeah, you're still on that credential life?
Yeah, I get the credentials. I have no idea what I'm doing there. Like, like you see, I walk there as like Gary Washburn and Steve Bulpet, and it's like dudes have been doing this for 30 years, and it's just like, I'm just here to ask dumb questions. Like, I don't want to really step in their way. It's It's kind of a weird experience. Have you been to any of the games or in a locker room like that?
Only for the big three this summer. Like, me and Tyler went, and like, they didn't okay like a camera guy to go, so we were just like, well, it doesn't really interfere with our job, so we can go and not make content and not get, like, no one would even know we were there.
Yeah.
And that was a weird experience just because it's not like a regular game at all, but it's also like, we talked to Gary Payton for like a long time, which was just sick. And like, we got to ask Dr. J a question. We talked to George Gervin for a while. So like, all that was really cool, but just like, very, like, we were sitting at a table with like five, like, just eating pizza with like five Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
And it was like, we shouldn't be here. Like, this is stupid. Like, yeah. Why are we here?
That's the coolest thing is, like, sometimes in the Celtics media room, it's just like, you sit down and it's like, then Jackie McMullen comes and sits down. You're just having a, like, dinner with Jackie Mac. And then it's like, wow, this lady is very smart and awesome. And then, but like, I never know what I'm doing in like a scrum with Stevens or like in the locker room. The locker room pregame and post, or especially pregame, is the most awkward experience. It's just middle-aged white men pouring into the locker room, and then all the players, like, they know exactly when that time is, so they're trying to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And then you, like, you see them like joking with each other, and then it's like, oh, come over to the media. And it's like, I don't know, just like, Jason Tatum's like one of the least interesting people when talking to the media.
I bet.
There's no one like, Kyrie doesn't speak before the game. Jalen never speaks before the game. Sometimes you can get Terry to talk, but like, even he's pretty reserved. So I just like don't know what I'm doing. So I don't know. It's interesting. I get to go to the games and get to record a podcast right afterwards, but I don't know. It kind of feel like an imposter when I go because I'm not like an actual journalist.
I wouldn't care about that at all. Like that. Like, there were other like legitimate media people there when we went, and they would ask like, oh, when you missed that shot, like, what was going through your mind? Like, what do you fucking miss? Like, what do you mean? Like, I've never understood why, like, anyone ever asks these questions.
There's such a formula for, like, because they're all writing recaps. There's such a formula for the newspaper story. So they've, like, crafted their gamer, and they're like, well, we need the one reaction quote to this thing. And
right.
It's like, you can see, like, Stevens roll his eyes sometimes, or just, like, others, just, like, really going to ask, like, what he thought about that, or, like, what was going through his brain. And so, like, I try not to take sports too fucking seriously.
Right, that's what it is.
It doesn't affect my life. Like, I have no control. It's also weird being, like, a fan. All these people there, like, I'm clearly a Celtics fan. I don't, like, try to say no cheering in the press box.
Yeah.
But it's weird just, like, other people maintain this thing of like journalistic integrity or things like, I don't know. I fucking like calling him Tito and likes it when he dunks or like things like right. That. Like, I don't know.
It's crazy that like people, like there's a portion of people who like get really mad at Bill Belichick for not answering these just like moronic questions. It's like, he does like, A, like no one wants to be there to begin with. Like no coach, no anyone wants to be there. Maybe Rex Ryan. That's it. But, like, everyone else, like, if you're going to ask Belichick, like, he gives really good answers when he gets a good question.
Yeah.
That's the part that's always been crazy to me. Like, yeah, you're going to bench Tom Brady? That's going to get laughed at. Like, when you ask him, like, oh, this scheme happened on this specific play, and he's like, oh, yeah, my father used to run that at Navy. Here's a 30-minute answer.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy people don't see, like, oh, that stupid question. Like, just ask good questions. It's not that hard.
Apparently it is. It actually is harder than you think. Because some days I go in, I'm like, I'm going to fucking ask a question today. Like, I'm going to really try and get Brad to say something interesting. And then you just stand there going, oh, I don't want to seem like a fucking idiot. And I guess I should probably just shoot my shot more. But it's just, there's like, it's weird. You don't want to just like waste the time of a guy who's there and it's like making a career out of it.
Definitely, yeah. And it's definitely like, you don't want to be like the Super Bowl media like guy who dresses in like a barrel with like a clown wig. Like, you don't want to be that guy either. But it's like, you can for sure ask. There's a medium there. There's not like, hey, I need you to break down the X's and O's of like this elevator play that you ran. Because like, you should already, like, there's something to be said. Like, the person writing about it should already know that too.
Yeah.
Or the person watching it. Like, that's why, like, basketball Twitter these past like 3 years, like, they start hating on Inside the NBA.
And oh, really? I didn't know there was anti-Inside the NBA takes. It's just an entertainment show.
It's crazy to me. They're like, oh, these guys don't even watch. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, Shaq has how many rings? Like, Ernie Johnson's the consummate host. And Charles Barkley is clearly not there. If you're watching Charles Barkley for, like advanced analytics and, like, oh, like, off the court, Dwight Howard's, like, the Hornets, this happens. Like, no, why are you watching it for that? Like, no. Like, Shaq goes up there with airbrushed abs and, like, they have, like, ridiculous conversations and he got tackled into a Christmas tree. Like, that's what it's
that's
for.
That's what it's for. And I don't, like, what like breaking it down do you need like X's and O's? Like, it's just you can get that if you want. Like, there's so many different basketball Twitter things.
Right.
Like basketball breakdown. They'll break down every single play for you.
But right.
I don't know. It's weird. That was one of the major things I wanted to ask you about, though, is weird Celtics Twitter, especially this season, man. It is. A dude from SB Nation called me the other day to just like talk to me about Giannis. And I was like, the origin of Giannis. And I was just like, the story's not Giannis. The story's just like weird Celtics Twitter. And
that's
where,
what it is, yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't follow many other teams, but you're like more in tune with social media. It's like,
there's no other, like, Raptors Twitter is starting to develop a semblance of a personality.
They seem kind
of
angry.
They are. Well, they feel disrespected and slighted, which, I mean, Celtics Twitter has been there before, too, when we were told for many years Danny Ainge couldn't draft. Like, he was constantly picking in the 20s. Like, yeah, it's going to be a crapshoot.
James Young didn't work out.
Yeah, and I'll defend that pick till I die. Like, there was nothing wrong with that pick. But Celtics Twitter, I think it has a lot to do with Ryan Huberto of Riffs.
He's the tastemaker.
I've known him on Twitter since we were both just like 600, 700 follower guys, just like watching the Celtics and just like enjoying it. You know what I mean? Just like I don't know. Like he liked Isaiah a lot more than I did, but at the same time, he wasn't like, oh, training for Kyrie was a bad idea. Like he gets it, but he also gets the part where it's like, it's not that serious. Like, let's just enjoy basketball. And I like, without him, it would just be like me yelling at the clouds, I feel like, because he definitely has made it a lot more palatable to just be a Celtics fan.
Well, he just made it fucking, like, his weirdness has been completely embraced, which
is correct.
And, like,
but he's been like, that's the thing.
He hasn't changed like whatsoever.
This. Like, well, the only thing he changed was just spelling everyone's name in one word. Yeah. That's the only thing he ever changed.
He took out spaces and his career skyrocketed.
Yeah, spaces were the devil for him, but he, I don't know, it's just been great to see that Celtics, because Celtics, I've always had, like, where are you from? You're from
Watertown.
That's right. So you're close enough. Like, growing up in the city, like, they were the clear fourth team.
Oh yeah,
like very far behind. And I remember, like, I had season tickets 06-07, my senior year of high school. It's the only year I had season tickets, and we won 17 fucking games. It was a bottom three Celtics team.
Bad year. Not a great year for the team.
And like, that place was empty. Like, and I remember I used to, I'd go with my dad a lot, and I used to, when Doc Rivers got announced, I would like, I was sitting like higher up, like in the 300s, but I would stand and give like a legitimate ovation, because I was like, look, this is probably one of our top three assets right here. Like, I don't want this guy to get frustrated and leave. And I regret it because he turned into a dickhead.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say I was just stood up and booed him loudly.
No, because back then it was like, look, like I did believe, like I knew what he had done with the Magic. Like, I knew he was like a players type coach. He just didn't have the players. And that, but like, that place was just empty, and it wasn't this like, oh, like the 80s garden. It wasn't that at all. It was like, LeBron came to town, people were there to see LeBron, not boo him. Like, it was very,
that was the same year, didn't they cheer like Kobe and give him like MVP chance?
Oh my god, I was at that. I know who started those chants too. He's a kid I play basketball with. I wasn't sitting with him, he just happened to be there because he was a big Kobe fan, and I wanted to strangle him. Like, that will forever be one of the biggest black marks that's happened in Celtics
state,
history.
Yeah.
Like he's a Laker. Like, I don't, like, Isaiah comes back, I hope he gets the shit boot out of him now that he's on the Lakers.
Yeah.
Although he might not be, because it's next year. Who knows what's going to happen with that?
Be,
but that, like, he pulled up from like half court to end like the second or third quarter, and like, I just knew it was. Like, I think we lost by like 30 that game, and you just knew that was going in, and the place erupted like it was a home game. I was disgusted. That will always, like, I speak the point I was trying to, in a roundabout way, getting to. Celtics weird Twitter has helped me re-embrace Celtics fans, because specifically that game, I'm glad you brought it up, I was not a big fan of Celtics fans.
Not great.
And like, they, some of the arguments, and the Isaiah thing is another part of it. Like, I get, we loved Isaiah. He was the tiny sportsman. Like, he was electric. You can't take anything away from the season he had. It was one of the greatest offensive Celtics seasons ever. You can't, there's nothing you can say against that. I was shocked how much pushback there was when we traded him for Kyrie Irving.
Oh yeah, I mean, I remember like recording the reaction podcast and being like, I like Isaiah as a dude, but we just got Kyrie Irving. Like, it should be. There's a positive here. Like,
it was crazy. It was like,
it's also weird because we spent the entire, at least I did, like, comparing Isaiah, IT, and Kyrie like arguing basically with like Cavs fans, like yeah, Cavs data. And so I just like spent some time slandering Kyrie and then had to like take it back.
See, I never did that. I was always like, this dude's got crazy handles and like he's their second option. I hope his numbers aren't the same.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. He's younger. Like they were them being in the same drafts, just like a weird little piece of sports history trivia for eternity. But like, I don't know, man. Ainge just knows what he's doing. And I put up those I Hate Danny Ainge shirts over the summer, and that was a litmus test where you're either a real Celtics fan and you understand what this means, or I'm going to troll you and you're going to be like,
you're gonna be really pissed off.
Because I thought he was going to trade Isaiah during the draft. I always thought he was going to trade Isaiah. I never thought Isaiah was here for the long haul.
It didn't make sense to give him that money.
The money and the role. Like, I know I just said he played tremendously last year. I always pictured him as Manu. Like, if he ever embraced the six-man role, I would have wanted him here for life. But he thought he's, like, the best point guard in the league, which you can't really work with.
That's the curse of Brad Stevens, is he makes you believe so much in your own ability that it's like you start thinking you're better than you are.
And when I thought he was going to get traded during the draft, so I needed those shirts for draft night. And it kind of helped that we traded the first pick. I knew some people were mad about that, but if he had traded him on draft night, because Jackie Mack had said he tried to trade him the draft previous for like a another lottery pick. I don't know who he was targeting, but he was trying to get back in the lottery, and everyone was like, no, dude, we're not trading a lottery pick for this guy. And I used to have debates with my friends, like, I think he's going to trade this dude. And they were like, no, we can't. The city loves him, like, most beloved player since, like, Bird. And I was like, he's the second best point guard I've seen. Now third, like, play for the Celtics. Like, I don't understand. Again, he was a folklore. He took hilarious pictures. Every picture was, he's always high, which I can appreciate. And he was fun to watch. But, like, what? We're trying to win championships here. Like, it wasn't a thing that could happen, and I wish him the best. I hate seeing what he's going through now.
Yeah, no, it's not like, fun to see him, because he was like a nice dude and like said what was on his mind. So from a media or like consumer perspective, it was like, you kind of just like felt like you got to know him a little bit. But in terms of talent, it doesn't, like, I was a huge like Jay Crowder guy, only because when I was at EEI, he gave me like a 40-minute interview about like how he came up. So I was immediately just biased by that because he was nice to me, but he completely fell off too. And it's
I hope he can pick it back up in Utah. I think just that whole Cavs situation was a little, not toxic, but
it was super toxic. I don't know how you can describe it. They hated each other.
Well, like the whole Cavs, I just mean them two specifically. Like, they went into a situation like I feel like they were just like scorned, and Isaiah had the injury on top of it. And then they both also had individual tragedies happen to both of them. Yeah. Like, they had a really fucking shitty year. Can we swear on this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure. being here, I swear on everything. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, the real world.
Well, this is not the real world. This is a Daily Celtics podcast. Yeah.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play, or Jalen on the breakaway, or Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Welcome to Locked On Celtics Podcast, everyone. joined by noted tall white, Coley Mick from Barstool Sports, host of Mixtape.
Co-host.
Can't forget Tyler.
Yeah.
We're talking about weird Celtics Twitter. I feel like the reason it took off this year is because there was a completely new team. Like, I had no idea what the personality of this team was going to be coming in, because Kyrie's kind of an odd duck.
He's a weirdo,
a weird dude. Al Horford's like the most quiet, like, loving father there is. Yeah. He's just like never going to say anything. I don't know. It was just like we needed some sort of like weird shit, and so we ran with Erotic City and like Swole and combat muscles.
I think what it was too is the plan's almost done. Like, Ainge's plan's almost done. Like, because the Nets picks are gone now. Like, that chapter's over. We know what we have from it, and it's hard to be upset with what we have from it.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, well, we're almost in, like, this purgatory where we're just waiting, because we see what we have we know, well, most of us recognize it's not enough for this year, especially with Hayward's leg exploding.
Yeah.
But if you're not comfortable and like, I don't care if we get swept in the playoffs by anyone this year, like what we have moving forward, if you're not comfortable and confident in Angel's ability to continue to add to it, you're a crazy person. So we're just in this waiting period where it's like, well, it's not like these games don't count. We're like kind of just watching this team develop. We still have other picks that aren't the Brooklyn picks coming. And it's like, well, we might as well just have fun with it.
Yeah, might as well laugh. We got an all-star coming. Like, they're probably not going to win this year, and everyone knows that. And so get jokes off. Like, get weird, say some weird shit.
Right.
Fuck spaces.
And Janos, I don't know how to pronounce it. But
just teach his own. I say Janos.
It's, I feel like that's just an amalgam of all of us that have been in it for for many years. And he was, if this had come along 2 years ago, he'd have three followers.
Yeah.
Like no one, it would just be me and Ryan like being like, is this you? No, is this you? No, I don't know what this
is. Who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah. Do you know who it is? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea. I secretly think it's my co-host, John Corrales. But
you think it's him?
Yeah, but he denies it. But my only thing is like, he has been posted on like what, Celtics Life or Celtics Hub since like 2008, 2009.
Oh,
yeah, that someone dug up like the earliest Giannis post. So it has to be someone who's like been around for a while.
Was it like the same type of writing and everything?
Same type of writing, same exact picture. Like it was like,
is it just a guy? Maybe, is that the big secret here? Is that the big reveal?
Yeah,
it's just a guy.
It's just a guy. It could, like someone tried to shame him and like saying he was using some, they found like the stock photo he was using. I'm like, fuck that. Like,
yeah, well, it's like trying to dig up drill. Like,
yeah, there's no need.
Leave it alone. I still think it's Ainge.
That's the thing. That's the other thing is like Ainge is clearly when he, they all have burner accounts. Like the Celtics have to have burner accounts. Like the whole.
I can confirm Terry Rozier did not have a burner account.
No, he did not. But the whole thing with like me and fucking Tito, I just started calling Terry Rozier Tito because.
Right.
I don't know. That's what I called him. His name began with T.
Right.
He was good. And then Austin Ainge quotes tweets it and says, like, some people are getting it wrong and, like, they should call him T-Row. And then it's a fucking segment on CSN or whatever, NBC Sports. And it's just like
mixtape.
Yeah. You guys had to talk about it on when he came in.
Yeah.
And so
I think we were the first place. Well, we asked about him. We asked about him before you even got a chance.
Yeah. No, because you talked about it. And then everyone's sending me the videos like, he hates Tito. So I had to go up to him and be like, yeah, I'm the Tito guy. Like, sorry. Sorry you're doing all this. He's like, yeah, just keep doing it. But, like, the Celtics brass clearly is aware of what's going on. And, like, just the very fact that you'd reach Danny Ainge would quote tweet Giannis is just, it's awesome. It's fascinating.
That's why I think it's him. Like, there's no other, like, positive thing that can come out of that for Ainge. I think he's using it to tamper, and I hope he's using it to tamper.
Yeah.
If he's not, maybe those I hate Danny Ainge shirts are more real these days.
Yeah, you got to do everything you can to try and build a team.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same guy who was, like, spooning Mama Durant while he was at Texas. Like, if he's not still tampering, I need to have a sit-down with him.
Although, like, what player is Giannis going to tweet at that's going to help them sign?
It's probably... I don't even know.
They don't even need anything. That's the crazy thing is that everyone, like, trade deadline, everyone's so thirsty for a deal, or, like, everyone really wants to think, like, Gordon Hayward's coming back. You're going to add an all-star who can do literally everything.
Right.
And he's, like, Brad Stevens' perfect basketball robot. Like,
right.
They're going to be much better next year.
Yeah, without doing, like, anything right now. I still would love, like, Baines is good in doses, and they clearly need someone to score off the bench, but I wasn't, like, let's trade a first for Tyreke Evans. Like, I thought that was crazy. And I like Tyreke, and I know Danny Ainge has coveted Tyreke since he was at Memphis. Like, that's all well and good. This isn't the year to be like, oh, let's start trading the Memphis pick or start trading, like...
I didn't even think they should trade Smart just because, like...
That was crazy.
You don't know what you're going to get in him. He, like... He could get a shitty contract and just, like, not really command that much money. And, like, you have an option of what to do at the end of the season. So why, like, just give that up for... A title run that you're not even actually trying to go on.
Right. The me and Tyler joke about it a lot. The Lou Will contract just kind of ruined it for everyone.
It did. Marcus Smart's fucked. Like, he's going to get, there's no one with cap room. He's going to get like $8 million or something like that.
Right. And
I wouldn't be surprised if he came back for like a discount. Like, I feel like Stevens is the only coach he's ever known. I don't know. I'm fully bought in on like the church of Brad Stevens. And like,
oh, yeah.
I interviewed him and talked just to him about his like, mindset philosophy, like how he thinks about coaching, and it's just like, yeah, we don't focus on results. It's very Belichickian. It's like focus on the process, get incremental progress each day. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm sold. Like wherever you tell me to go, I'll go, Brad.
There's no reason to not, like, again, Doc was a fine players coach, and it helps when like him and Tibbs were there together. Like, you just have two head coaches, like, one focusing on defense, one focusing on offense. And it helps when, like, there are, like, three to four Hall of Famers on the court.
Having the best defensive power forward of all time.
Right.
Helpful.
So, it's like, yeah, I get what was going on there. But just, you watch, like, some of the sets, especially, like, out of timeout, like, inbounds plays. It's night and day. Like, you saw that Brad's first year, like, right after Doc left, when we had garbage out there. Like, Rondo wasn't even playing. Yeah. He was hurt. Like, you could see, like, the offense was humming, even though we were losing. It was like, oh, this guy's a different animal.
Yeah, he's good. He's does everything right. It's just, it's so weird because he's, like, very milquetoast dude from the Midwest. And I was like, how do you walk into a locker room with, like, 12 black dudes and Jonas Jerebko and, like, actually, like, interact with them? And I've asked some of the players about, they're just like, he's just very honest about who he is and right. like is very clear about expectations. Like, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Like, you would imagine, like, for some reason I imagine there'd be some more of like a, like, they're playing Future or something in the locker room and like Brad walks in and makes a joke, or I don't know, I just can't imagine them like hanging out on a bus or any social situation, but like it seems to work for X's and O's and like getting them to be the best that they can be.
Yeah, I think he's just very authentic to himself, and I think any race of person can respect that. As long as you're not trying to be something you're not, like, people are going to be like, oh, okay, like, you don't always have to agree with that person, but you know what you're going to get from them. And I think from a head coach, like, that's the thing I don't understand with any team for any sport, when, like the Browns are the perfect example. Like, yeah, it's no one, like, they hired a GM last year and then they didn't win any games and they fired him. It's like, yeah, well, of course it's not going to work. Like, if you give them zero, like, what do you think, they're going to go undefeated? Like, of course not. Like, teams that don't have this structure from the top, and like, it starts with like Wick and the ownership group and them having all this trust in Ainge. Ainge has been here since what, like 04, 05?
Yeah.
It was 04 because it was like the Al Jefferson draft was his first one, I think. And it's been like, they were like, yeah, we trust you. He got all those assets. He made the Garnett trade. He made the Ray Allen trade first. And he just has always had a plan, I felt like. Like, he's always had a very clearly defined plan. And, like, it helps that the people above him trust in it and everyone below him trusts in it. And that's what you need. And he got his guy in Stevens. And what did they just get, new contracts last offseason?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it was for, like, six years or
they
something.
They weren't even due. Like, they were both already signed.
But, like, yeah, we agree that this is going better. Like,
yeah.
We've gotten better every single year.
Yeah.
We made Jordan Crawford Player of the Week. Like,
I miss Jordan Crawford.
I do. I thought that for a while he was going to come back in the league. I think he's still dominating the D-League now.
Probably.
I mean, I can't see why he wouldn't be.
Perk's dominating in the D-League. Like,
I thought he was going to get called signed by the Cavs, and that was kind of disappointing that didn't happen.
Well, they only gave Marcus Thornton a 10-day, so I wouldn't be shocked if they still did. Like, they don't need him now. They can sign him, like, mid-March, and he'll still be
true.
On the playoff roster, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a CBA guy. I'm not a rules guy. So I guess what is – given that we all know that they're not going for a championship this year, I mean, I'd rather have them win games. I'd rather have them not play shitty like they did for the past four games or ever since Marcus has been out. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, what are your expectations for the rest of this season?
I think it's just more like, because there was the first year of the Isaiah playoffs where we shouldn't have made them in the first place, and Avery and Kelly both got hurt against Atlanta. And it was just like, well, it kind of feels like a waste. And then it was that the first year?
First year we lost to the Cavs. Got fucking our asses kicked.
Yeah, got blown out. That's because we were like a 7 seed, weren't we?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
We made the huge push to get out of the lottery.
To not get Miles Turner. But we got Terry, so it's hard
to could have had Devin Booker, too. Yeah, we did end up with Terry, so it's not a wash. But that draft was crazy loaded, at least.
I know, but it was so. Yeah, we got handled by the Cavs, and it was like, yeah, we never should have been here in the first place. And then it was the Hawks, where Avery and Kelly got hurt, and we were winning that game before Avery pulled his hamstring.
Yeah.
He just came up lame. That sucked because I thought we should have beat the Hawks. We should never lose to the Hawks in the playoffs. I don't care who's on the Hawks. We should never lose to the Hawks in the playoffs. So that one was really disappointing, and it kind of showed like they were just kind of. It was kind of like Jeremy Lin's 11th game. When they played the Heat, like he had those 10 games, best 10 games start to his career. And then they played the Heat, and Wade and LeBron just played him like a high school player and like full court trapped him. They were doing that to Isaiah, and the offense had no answer around it. And that was frustrating to watch because it was like, all right, well, we should be beating this team even with Avery out, even with Kelly out. Like, this isn't acceptable. And then last year felt like a really positive step in the right direction. Like, they figured out how to use Isaiah in the playoffs. Everyone was clicking.
Horford helped a lot on the defensive
end. Of course, yeah. I mean, Horford.
That's the most frustrating thing in fucking Celtics media. Right. The average Al Horford, Lou Maloney going on these fucking hot take rants.
Yeah, we got Jared out here, Karabas, who's like Lou Maloney's son. And I tell him all the time, I'm like, dude. Like that guy, like I said, I used to talk to Lou every day.
Yeah.
I had no problem. I still have no problem.
I worked with Lou. I was his producer for a year straight. I like Lou, but he just doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
That's like I said for years, the only person I ever cared to listen to on Boston Sports Talk Radio talk about the Celtics was John Ryder.
John D. Ryder, man, that guy's a legend.
Yeah, I used to call him all the time, too. He got it. He truly understood the game. He knew what he was watching. He wasn't a hot take guy. Like, he was like, yeah, I'm going to recap the game. We can talk about basketball. I'm here till midnight.
Yeah.
And they haven't found that guy to replace him yet. Like, there's no one.
No. It's like, you would think Ordway, I mean, like, he used to be, like, the play-by-play guy, but, like, he's, what? It's really hard for me to, like, respect the opinion of someone who's over the age of 40. If they're like, it's unless they're like there every single day, but if they're just like an old dude on sports talk radio, it's like immediately there's kind of like a, why the fuck do I care about your general?
It should honestly
opinion.
Be like Greeny should have his own show up there. Like, I don't know how either of those places haven't reached out to him, because it would be the only place to get any sort of like good Celtics talk on, or even like the Locked On show. Like, if you guys were just on, because I know like Corrales, is that how you say his last name?
Yeah,
John Corrales, and
Jay King?
Jay King, yeah. I was blanking on his name. I was picturing his avatar of him going up for, like, the layup or the block. Like, in you. Like, that would be the best Celtics show they've had ever? Like, ever.
Yeah.
On either station.
On either station. And yeah, it just it's like, frustrating how much they still, I guess, have control over the conversation, even though, like, with the emergence of podcasts, it's still, like, Lou Maloney can say average Al, and then that's, a thing on Celtics Twitter for the next 3 days or
like
something.
Boston, especially more Boston, New York, and I can't speak for the rest of the country, but I know those two cities still very much are listening to terrestrial radio.
Oh yeah.
And it you can tell when it, like I saw yesterday on Felger and Maz, they said Pedro was never the face of the Red Sox. Like,
where were you in 1999?
For like a 5 year stretch. Like, why is that even, like, who, why is that even being brought up? Like, they're just trying
every
to
every single start he had was appointment television. How is he not the face of, that's one of the, like, that's the classic just saying dumb shit to say dumb shit.
Right. And it gets a rise out of people and it gets them their views and stuff. And it's like,
it fucking works though. Like, that probably got them a bunch of viewers and, like, every time. So John Corrales will all, like, constantly shit on them and, like, just go after terrestrial radio and, like, talk about it, like, podcasts are here, like, you don't have to listen to them, you can listen to us. There's so many people just cape for, like, terrestrial radio. It's just like, this is the thing, man. Like, making it on EEIs or, like, being on the Sports Hub is, like, that's where the elite of, like, I guess our profession is. It's just, it's absurd. I don't understand caping for like old school radio. It feels like it's just a dying industry.
It is, but, like, I guess, like, probably in, like, that's the thing, like, ESPN is the biggest, like, sports radio station, and I think, like, 48 of the 50, like, capital cities. And it's, like, Boston and New York, no one listens to them. And it's because we all, I think it's, like, I just remember growing up, like, with my father in the car, like, listening to, like, the Wiener Weiner line.
Oh, yeah.
Like, every day. Like, he would be, like, driving me home from something.
And yeah, it was like, every day. Every time you're in the car, like, we would listen to Dennis and Callahan in the morning. And, like, my dad is, like, super liberal, like, probably voted for Jimmy Carter 4 times. Like, even though we probably hated everything Dennis and Callahan said, I was like, yeah, that's what we're in the car. We're going to be listening to. We're going to be listening to EEI. So, like, I understand how it's, like, built into the kind of the culture, I guess, of Boston sports. But I don't know. It's frustrating shit.
I think there is going to be a point though where, like, us specifically, Barstool in Boston at least, can just take them down.
Yeah, no, I mean, with Sirius, it's like, with that show, there's literally another something. I feel like a lot of that is, like, in your car driving.
Right.
And so as soon as most cars have satellite radio in them, which I imagine they will, there's no real, like, that's the only reason I feel like people just constantly go back to that.
Yeah, it's just reflex is really all it is, and, like, a little bit of nostalgia. And that's why, like, Ordway keeps getting brought back. Like, I feel like he's been fired, like, 5 times. And he just keeps getting brought back, and, like, I don't know. Like, I still, like, I like a decent amount of the guys who work there, like, as humans, but, like, I don't care about their takes at all. Like, I don't know why they have takes. Like, if people are going to be so mad at Charles Barkley for not watching the game, like, none of those guys watch the Celtics. It's, like, painfully obvious. Because if you watched one Celtics game, you wouldn't, unless it was, like, against the Cavs in the playoffs, you would never think Al Horford was average. Like, it was impossible. It's impossible to think that.
Yet it happened, so who knows?
It's just, like, the biggest, like, I clearly don't watch the game statement. And, like, I know there's this whole divide, like the eye test versus the analytics people. I don't know if there needs to be some big divide, like, however you want to enjoy the game, like, I'm all for it. But even if you are not going to watch it, like, at least look up the numbers, because Horford is, like, constantly having, like, historic stat lines, even if he's not grabbing, like, 12 rebounds a game, like...
He passes both the eye test and all, like, statistics, small statistics and, like, the advanced analytics that I don't understand, but they seem to be good.
And now he hits threes, too, so it's like, I don't know what...
What more could you ask for from him?
Yeah. To me, the Al Horford signing, just signing him himself, was, I don't know another free agent that even comes close to his caliber in my lifetime for the Celtics. Like, the Red Sox can sign whoever they want. The Patriots can sign whoever they want. The Bruins got Chara. I'm sure they have other signings. I don't really care about the Bruins.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they've
Hockey's
had...
Hockey's a trash sport.
Yeah, I'm sure they've had other big signings. Before Horford, it was, like, Posey.
PJ, like, yeah, no one.
Shaq.
It's amazing that he even, like, signed here. And so I think that's a huge credit to... I think it's actually, like, Stevens. I think that it's, like, everyone knows that they're going to become better if they play for him. So why wouldn't you want to sign with the Celtics?
Right, and it helps that, like, you're coming from, like, Atlanta, which is a cool place to live, but it's a terrible place to play sports.
Yeah.
Like, he said it himself. He was like, people cheered more for me signing the contract than me playing for Atlanta for, like, a decade.
Yeah, he kicked the shit out of the Celtics in Boston, and the crowd was, like, very excited, more excited for the Celtics than the Hawks fans were for the Hawks who won the actual game. And so it's pretty wild. Do you think the Celtics can win the East, though?
This year?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm confident in their ability to score points consistently because it just seems like their offense isn't clicking that much.
They just can't. Like, Tatum's too young. Jalen's taken a huge step that I've enjoyed every second of. And that's another part, like, where it comes down to, like, the me hating Celtics fans because of the Kobe shit. Me hating Celtics fans because they booed Jaylen Brown.
That was absurd.
Because he wasn't Chris Dunn or Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Like, the whole Garden was booing. Like, that shit only happens in movies. What are we doing here? We're not Philly. But him seeing that step is tremendous. I know Kyrie is going to ball out.
I feel like Kyrie in the playoffs is a different thing. That guy, he talks about aura so much and, like, the energy of the building. I can't imagine Kyrie losing a playoff game in the Garden because, like, Garden playoffs is, like, a totally different environment.
Right.
It's fucking crazy. And for a guy who's, like, talking about his seventh chakra and, like, riding the energy, you can see it when he went to Oracle. It's just, like, Oracle Kyrie's a thing. It feels like I thought that was going to happen in the Cavs game, and it kind of did in the first quarter when he hit that one shot, and then it all
went to
shit.
Locked down LeBron. I remember I tweeted the highlight. I was trolling people there. So I was like, look at this, clamps. And then he hits the turnaround in his face. People were like, dude, he just missed a shot and then hit a shot.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, get it. I understand.
No, but Kyrie did everything.
Yeah. That game was shit. Like, that first quarter was fine. And then I have no idea what happened. I was like, well, I guess we're losing this one.
That was the day after my birthday, and I was up in the halo. And I was just sitting there very hungover, and it was not a fun experience.
No, it was tough. Because that was an afternoon game, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... It was tough, but yeah. So as far as the playoffs, like, it's just more harkening back to what I was saying before. I just want to see positive, like, strides, because I feel like last year we were playing, like, Gerald Green at the four out of necessity. We almost lost to Rondo in the first round. Like,
that was our big curveball to save the season. Start Gerald.
There were plenty of, like, red flags last year that I don't need to see I don't want to see this year, and I don't anticipate seeing. Like, I just think we're going to get beat. But, like, if we lost to the Raptors, that wouldn't surprise me. If we lost to the Cavs, that's what I'm expecting. If we lost to anyone else, I'd probably be pretty upset.
Yeah, Bucks, Wizards are good teams, but we really shouldn't lose to them because they don't have enough depth.
Definitely shouldn't ever, like, the Wizards last year, I was shocked. It was, like, I get we, like, just, it's a very intense game. Like, they seem to be our current rivals. Like, the Cavs aren't a rival, we can't beat them. Like, it's tough to be, it's like the Lakers the first nine times we faced them in the finals. Like, that wasn't a rivalry, that was a hammer versus a nail.
Yeah.
The Wizards feel like a rival that shouldn't be because the games are always just so close, and it feels like Kelly Oubre just wants to fight everyone, and we have plenty of people who want to fight too. So it's just a very volatile mixture.
Good combination.
Yeah. And so the games are enjoyable to watch. They're exciting. I do think we're just significantly more talented, and we shouldn't struggle with them as much, but that's why we watch.
And then they really should have lost that game if it wasn't for Markieff Morris fouling Kyrie in the final seconds on that.
Right.
But yeah, there's a reason. No reason to be as close as it was. Like, we should not lose to a John Wallace team, right, despite the amazing chemistry they have without him.
Right. Yeah. Tyler was saying he's going to come back and just their playoffs, they're going to lose in like the first round.
Yeah, because what was Bradley Beal saying? Like, everybody eats?
Yeah. Him and Gortat were saying that. And Wall was like, I get you plenty of open looks. Why don't you shut
up, fuck
Gortat?
Off, dude. I think you're right. The most important thing is we need Jaylen and Jason Tatum just to play in the playoffs and have some success. And it's that'll be some incremental progress, and they'll get a little bit better and get more confident. And then when Hayward returns, they're immediately a championship contender.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think they're the East contender. I was saying yesterday, if Hayward comes, this offseason, if we do nothing, we're automatically the favorites to win the East,
yeah,
just by Hayward coming back. And that obviously, if the Cavs get Boogie and I don't know how they continue to get players, but they're $40 million over the cap now.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they keep adding players, but I'm just going to assume they can figure out ways. So unless they get someone or LeBron goes to the Sixers, I don't know another thing that could happen where we're not going to be the odds-on favorite, and I'm just – it's just waiting. The Hayward injury really, really sucked in the moment, but I think in the long term it's just going to be better because of what we've seen out of Tatum, which I've enjoyed, but these last
– He's regressed.
Since his kid was born, pretty much.
His kid was born. He dislocated his finger or something, but really his start was fucking insane.
It was.
He was the best shooter of all time.
Right.
I don't know why I expected that to continue, but I did. I was I haven't seen anything else. This guy makes everything.
I've gotten a lot of heat because I wasn't sold on Tatum coming out of Duke. It wasn't like I said, I projected him to be Tobias Harris, which people thought was the most insulting thing you could
say. Tobias Harris is a very solid player. He just kicked the shit out of the Celtics.
Correct. He sure
did.
He
always does.
Correct. I didn't think it was that terrible of a take. People after that hot start were like, oh no, this guy's like if Pierce and Ray Allen had a kid, which I think we're starting to see is not quite the case. But again, he's still 19, any Celtics fan will tell you that. What are you expecting from him the next 3 years?
I'll just get a little bit better at shooting and finishing. He's already at clearly an elite level. He contributes on defense. He does
more than I ever expected.
That's the crazy thing is even when he has shitty shooting games, he still is kind of somewhat productive on defense. He's still the longest fucking dude on the team and is good at grabbing rebounds. So I don't know. It's just going to be more consistent with scoring and more being in the offense. So it's difficult right now because the team just can't score really without Kyrie Irving, so I want Jason Tatum to hit his more shots than he is, but I don't know, he's still 19, and so I don't know, he's got to keep throwing him out there and just see what happens.
Yeah, I'm not trying to make any broad generalizations about him. It's just he needs to learn when to take the offhand layup, when to use his right hand on the left side, it seems to be the only way he knows how
it's
to take
layups.
It's
his go-to move, yeah.
And it's ending up in the fifth row more now than at the beginning.
When he
of
was
the
sneaking
season.
It by people, it was very impressive, yeah. But now it's just getting swatted.
It's still a tool he should keep. It's just not the only way he should try and lay it up. And it seems like the Nets kind of opened it up for the rest of the league, where if you're just super physical with him,
yeah,
he kind of is oh, I'm not even going to look for my shot because I'm just, again, he's 19. So, he could grow, 2 inches and, fill out more.
He's definitely going to fill out more. He's, of all the dudes, he's kind of, the smallest one. I mean, he still is, a professional athlete and
right.
He's very jacked, but, you can just see that in the locker room. Just, it's weird that I go into the locker room and see all these guys just shirtless, but you can tell, this guy's, he's a child. He's a little beanpole. He is a child.
He's a legitimate child.
He's not allowed to buy alcohol. In some places, he can't get into clubs. There was some TMZ story, got turned down from a club in L.A., which, terrible business by that bouncer. you want to let the NBA star in, but.
I'm sure there were probably already, seven in there. He was we're okay for tonight. But yeah, I'm excited about Tatum. I have no problem. If I were super wrong, I'd be thrilled. I don't want him to be bad. I've never wanted him to be bad. He plays for the Celtics. There's no reason for me to. That was the other thing about this team too. When Kelly was on the team, there was someone I could like hate. Like, just look at him and be like, I don't like you here. Like, he was a fine player, but I didn't want him here. And
I think they miss Kelly, though. I think they could use a five who could shoot. I think they're better when they have, like, they go smaller. I mean, Kelly was the most frustrating guy in the world.
Horford's a five who can shoot for us.
Yeah. I mean, they ultimately, if they're going to win, they're going to be playing Horford at the five. But
right.
Now they have all these crazy fucking Moose minutes and Baines.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, Monroe needs to, I hope he just spent the whole break just running.
Like, yeah, just being somewhat in shape.
Because, like, clearly he wasn't playing in Phoenix. Like, he just eating, like, chips on the bench or something. But there's just been no one on this team where I'm like, even Mook Morris, like, it's just too funny. Like,
yeah, no, that dude loves his ISO. Mook is, like, yeah. Hilarious.
He gets the ball, you're like, well, we might as well just all jock back on defense. Like, this shot's going up.
And it's also, sometimes it's useful. Like, when he scores more than 14 points, like, for 15 points, they usually win. Like, they are so in need of scoring that ISO Mook is literally their best option off the bench. So, it's hard to complain. Like, even, I know Marcus is going to come back and start just, chucking eight threes a game. It's going to be like,
I'm fine with it.
I'm all for it. Marcus needs to shoot. Like, that's what he needs to do to be effective. He's not going to make most of them, but maybe someone will close out. Maybe there'll be space. Who knows?
Other teams close out on him way too often. Like, someone broke it down at the beginning of the season.
It was HP basketball.
That's what I thought it was. They broke it down, and like you just see, like, so he would get doubled when he has the ball, and it's like, well, yeah, we're going to score here. Like, it blows my mind how people, like, even after the Lakers game, the game he ended up hurting himself after, but like, he was our best player on the court on both ends that game. Like,
yeah, it was his best game of the season. He just happened to miss the buzzer beater.
Right, and people were like killing him for that. And I was like, well, I don't know if I agree with
this. People are breaking down the film Zapruder style, like, he should have passed it in this second to Terry Rozier. It's like, man, the dude was confident, thought he could make a shot, and he got a decent look.
And I get, like, what kills me is, like, these same people will say, the hot hand theory is just a theory, like, it's fake, it doesn't exist. And then in an actual game, like, oh, Terry just hit two shots. Like, you have to feed that guy.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? It's one or the other. Like, you can't be both.
No, that's the thing about, I'm not going to say Celtics Twitter, but just general sports fan Twitter is just being mad online.
Just
and
having it both, needing to have it both ways at all times.
There's some, like, people in our mentions, we have, like, our hashtag Raining Jays after the game that we just say game recaps, and just, like, you see the same people, and no matter what happens, they're just angry. And it's like, well, why? I don't understand why you're so upset. I very much try to preach sports optimism because, I can't control what these guys do. So if they lose, I'm not going to be that upset about it. And if they win, it's going to be fucking awesome. And there's just some people who are just, like, mad online and just hate everyone.
I can still definitely be mad online guy. There's nothing. Weird Celtics Twitter didn't happen overnight. It was a long,
it's a long journey,
arduous process, because it is kind of like Raptors fans, where we had people doubting Ainge. The Nets picks were never going to be good, which was always crazy to me. They were always going to be good picks. Like, you could see that from the day we got the picks. But it was just so many outsiders telling us, like, how we should view our team, to the point where now everyone's, like, super jealous of our team, and we're just, like, sitting back and just waiting. And but there was that point in time. Like, I remember when we lost to the Lakers in the finals, I just smoked, like, 13 blunts in a row, like, just to numb everything.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened in the world. Like, how could this happen? Then when we lost to the Heat, the series, Rondo got raked across the face by Wade.
Fuck Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, yeah.
The
forever.
First podcast I ever hosted was called I Hate Dwayne Wade. And then I was told by EEI that I couldn't have that be the name of the podcast. So I changed it to I Love, or with my co-host, We Love Anthony Davis, which is a more positive message. But
definitely positive.
Fuck Dwayne Wade.
Yeah. No, I was trying to explain it to someone. Like, I really hate Kobe, and I should hate Dwayne Wade as much, but I just don't anymore. There used to be a time where he was my least favorite player, but as the time goes, it's like, yeah, he broke Rondo's arm intentionally that time, and then he raked him across the face. I should be more mad at the refs than him for that. But the broken arm thing will always be like, yeah, that was a big time. I think he just owns his scumbagness more than, like, Chris Paul does.
Does he own it, or is it just like an accepted fact? I don't know. It's just,
it might be that. It might be the accepted fact. Yeah, I think that's what it might be, because it's not accepted with Chris Paul, who's also
Chris Paul's the consummate leader. He's a point guard. He's Mr. State Farm. But
right. And so I guess maybe that's it. The public perception, everyone's more like, yeah, he does this shit, but we don't really care that much. So I guess I can ride with that a little bit more. But
any made basket against the Celtics by Dwayne Wade, I end up getting Mad Online, and I literally just claimed, like, I don't let this affect me at all. And yeah. then it's like, fuck Dwayne Wade. But
you must have loved when he was like missing open dunks last year against us in the playoffs.
It was fantastic. I enjoy seeing him lose.
That series, that was almost a very dark. Like I was worried, like, what was going to happen if we lost. Like, I was still like, no, Ainge won't overreact, but you never know.
It helped out that they were able to win, because you probably don't get as much value for Isaiah if he loses to the Bulls.
Have
like the 50-point game in the against the Wizards, like that Kyrie. Who knows what fucking happens?
Yeah, if he just got dominated by Rondo for like six games, they would be like, "Oh, this guy can't play in the league."
This defense is terrible.
I do. Where do you stand on Rondo? Because I like to ask any Celtics fan, because I can't remember a player who did more and got less recognition for it than Rondo did as a Celtic.
He was amazing. He was the best player on the court towards the end of the kind of big three, big four era. I just really think he was a dick.
Oh, yeah.
And that because of that, like, I go into the locker room, and so you kind of see how the interactions thing, and if the guy's just, like, kind of surly and a dick the whole time, I think that just like directly translate to kind of the coverage he gets. And so if people are reading the media and they're through the lens of these people who are just like, man, I don't want to fucking talk to this guy. He's made us wait 2 hours just kind of. So I agree with you that he doesn't get as much kind of support, but I think it's like a lot of part of it is just his own doing.
Yeah. And I definitely get that part of it. And he had the shit with Bill Kennedy.
Yeah.
He had that, which was a terrible look.
He had to broke his wrist at the trampoline park or whatever, and then said he fell in the shower or something like that. Like,
so, but to me, like, where it gets confusing to me is if Rondo that whole time, instead of being a dick, just said, you need to back the Brinks truck up for me, people would have hated him just the same. But when Isaiah did it, it was like cute. That was Boston's.
Because Isaiah's, I guess Rondo's tiny too. I don't know, for you're right, but like when Isaiah says like that, it's like, oh man, that guy's so relatable. I want him to get his money, but if Rondo's just like also just being himself and being like completely honest, he's just a little bit more surly. You're right, but like people would have hated him no matter what.
It shocked me that Isaiah never got an ounce of flack for that in Boston. Like, if we were doing it elsewhere, like, yeah, I could understand them people not freaking out about it. David Ortiz asked for money,
and people were like,
"This guy's
got
to go." Like, this guy, he's old, he's washed up. Like, he doesn't play in the field, he doesn't play any defense. Like, he's got to go. Like, what are we talking about?
He wants $20 million with no salary cap? How dare he?
Ortiz just wanted, like, not to sign one-year deals every year of his career, and he was correct. And people were like, oh, he argued for an RBI that one time. Yeah, he argued for the RBI because he had to go into contract negotiations every offseason. Of course he needs that RBI. Like, Boston, I love Boston with all my heart. Some of the stuff, especially when it comes to sports, just makes me laugh.
You got to laugh to it. That's what I'm trying to preach sports optimism, because it's difficult.
Yeah, and Celtics Twitter finally has reached this point. I do wonder when it's going to end, if it's going to be the start of next season, or if it's going to be if we get to an Eastern Conference Finals or a title. Like, I don't know. There will be a change. I hope it's in a positive direction, because I don't think it's just going to be like, oh, like next year we win the East and lose in the finals, and then the year after that we just win the finals. Like, that's too easy. Like, it couldn't possibly happen that way.
No, something crazy is going to happen. And that's like crazy. You don't even know what's going to happen this offseason. Like,
right.
That's why the NBA is fucking awesome, is that, I don't know, like, it doesn't seem like the Celtics have many changes, but the league could change entirely, and it's entirely different from there. That's why it's, I don't know. Life.
I don't appreciate Anthony Davis being like, well, maybe I do want to leave now. Like, that wasn't great. That was...
But I also want to dream about DeMarcus Cousins and I in the finals. You're sending real mixed messages, Anthony. Like,
I think it was more, if I understood what he was trying to say, it was more like, hey, if you don't re-sign DeMarcus Cousins, I'm out of here.
So I'm all for that. So Boogie could leave in this offseason, and then we have a wild trade, or like, what? There's the crazy talk out there is like, would you trade Gordon Hayward right now for like something?
I think
something?
Tyler and me started that talk.
I listened to your podcast, so maybe that's where I heard it. Definitely where I heard it. I mean, do you end up, I don't remember what your ultimate conclusion was, but.
I think to me, the most important thing, Stevens would have to be okay with it. Because as far as I'm concerned, Stevens is only with the Boston Celtics because Ainge sold him on signing Gordon Hayward at some point in time. To me, it just makes the most sense out of any of the other trades I've heard, because, A, you still need the salaries to match up on some level.
Yeah.
And if you're starting with, like, Tatum, like, you have a lot of gap to make up. And then it's Horford. Like, I don't think the Pelicans really want Horford. As great as he is, he's not like at the stage of his career where he's like some big trade chip.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the young guys with Kyrie, and like we've seen what they've done right now without Hayward, and if you could just slide Davis in instead of him, I think that makes this little, and then you just add picks to it, obviously. Like, they're not like, oh yeah, we want Gordon Hayward straight up. That would never happen. But I think it would make the most sense out of any of the trades. Like, that being said, I don't think there's a trade that makes sense where I would be like fully happy with it. Because yeah. I do like what we've seen with Tatum. I definitely don't want to trade Jaylen. I'm not saying Jaylen's better than Anthony Davis because I'm not a crazy person. But it's like, at what point are you giving up too many parts to where, all right, now it's just Kyrie, Anthony Davis, and Gordon Hayward, which is a very good team, probably contender to win the East. The Warriors run that team off the court.
And then you have no bench. And
right,
then
no bench. Like, is Terry starting at the two? Like, do we retain Marcus? Is he starting? Like, it just, there's a lot of questions where I would trust Ainge to figure it out, but I kind of just like the path we're on right now. Like, I enjoy where we're at and not the process, in our process.
Yeah, fuck them for taking the phrase the process away. Like, that's how you would describe what's going on in right. most situations.
Right. I enjoy the process we've been on, and I don't know if I'm ready to. I thought trading the Brooklyn pick for Kyrie was the shocking part of all that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow, Ainge didn't give it up for Paul George. Yeah. He didn't give it up for Jimmy Butler. He wanted, like, Kyrie. Like, interesting. I don't disagree with him, but I think it's interesting that this is where it ends up. But yeah, I do think he can also be more patient where he knows no other team. It's almost like he kept waiting for Kevin Love because he was just like, yeah, I'll give you Sullinger. Like, I'll give you Sullinger and this other bag of crap. And they were like, no.
No, thank
But he
you.
Kept being available for many years. Like, if we don't trade for Anthony Davis this summer, I don't think New Orleans is going to be like, oh, then we'll take some shitty offer from, like, the Suns. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. So I do think he can kind of just wait for that price to come down a little. And then, like, 2 years or a year from now, 2 years from now, maybe it's, like, I don't know, maybe we get Zion next draft and we can trade him. Like,
yeah.
To me, there's just no need to rush that part of it while the Warriors are still a thing.
And you're right about Brad Stevens. It feels like Brad Stevens is like a robot from the Midwest designed to coach basketball, and
yeah.
then Gordon Hayward is the robot that robot designed. Like, they have, we have to give them some time together just because he's literally just a 6'8 forward who can literally do just everything pretty well and
right.
feels like the perfect Brad Stevens guy. So
the easiest piece to just put back in. Like, everyone else is going to fit around him. Like, I'm okay with keeping Gordon Hayward. If we're talking about Anthony Davis trades, that's where it just makes the most sense to start with him as opposed to, like, Tatum, Jaylen, and then
matching
others.
Salaries. And
right.
Yeah.
That seems like way more of a clusterfuck and way less, just less fun of a team. Like, yeah, they'd be for sure better when you have Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, and Gordon Hayward. Like, that's a tough three to match up with. But it's just like the cost of it all just seems too much. Whereas if it's just Hayward, like, we've seen, what, 5 total minutes of Hayward in a Celtics uniform? Like, that would almost feel like we got Anthony Davis for free in a sense.
Exactly. It's just everything's gravy this year.
Yeah. But I've been pretty outspoken about, like, not even thinking about Anthony Davis. It just seems so far-fetched to me.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's really – It's tough to engage in the rumor just because you want to talk about the possibility, but really it's not necessary that they make a deal. So
Ainge almost like fucked himself by trading for Kevin Garnett because every Celtics fan's like, oh, we could just trade for whoever. And it's like,
no,
you can't.
We're just gonna do it. And no, you need like a former Celtics legend to maybe be the GM, and it might be helpful that way.
And you also have to trade for, like, KG didn't want to come to Boston. Like,
You also have to have like really shitty pick luck and like not get Kevin Durant
right.
and
yeah,
bunch of crazy things.
Would you trade that ring for that
Kevin
draft
Durant?
Go differently and get Durant?
That's a good question.
Because you're looking at, it would be Rondo, Tony Allen, Kevin Durant, Al Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins, and then whatever you trade Pierce for, because Pierce would have been gone.
Yeah, he said he would have requested a trade. I don't know, man. Like, so you get Kevin Durant for his entire rookie contract. So that's 8 years of Kevin Durant,
yeah.
basically until the same amount of time when he decided to go to Golden State.
Right.
I don't know. I don't feel like he can trade championships away. Like, they won that one. They had 2009. That was probably their better team. I don't think you can give that up. Durant's probably the second best player in the league. But
if they had won 2, I wouldn't even talk about it. The only winning one, I feel like we would have... It's hard to assume we wouldn't have won the East like many times over. Because who knows what you get from Pierce?
Yeah,
like, we very easily could have got like Angels. Also, really like James Harden. Like he might have ended up drafting him because that team would have stunk year one.
Yeah.
Like we would have got our own top overall pick, and then we probably would have traded with Dallas because Pierce has said like that's where he was telling Ainge to trade him to. So who knows what we would have got from them? Like it picks probably, and who knows.
And then Ainge is clearly a good evaluator of talent at top of the draft. So it probably just would have been the whole process we're in right now, just started
earlier. Yeah. And who knows? Maybe Durant is a lifer. Maybe it's something I've not been able to stop thinking about since 2007.
Maybe Durant starts hating the city and wants to go to Silicon Valley. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's an entirely different kind of existence, but it's interesting. I don't know. I don't think I've settled on an answer because it's a good question.
Two titles, it's not a question at all because you can't be like, oh no, we would have won two with Durant. Like you have no fucking clue. One, I could make the case because going back to Rondo, I think he was like a top five player in basketball the year we lost to the Heat in seven games. Because him and LeBron were like trading baskets. Like it wasn't even, and Pierce wasn't who he used to be. Garnett surely was still not what he used to be.
So it could have been peak KD and what other pieces you have around it right now?
I mean, Rondo would have averaged like 20 assists a game passing to Kevin Durant.
It would have been damn impressive. I mean, we've been here for an hour, so I don't know. I mean, we've talked entirely Celtics the whole time, which I was kind of surprised by. I thought we were going to get at least a good 15 of Simpsons talk in, but I don't have no direct Simpsons questions. So you like that show?
I get it's tough for like a new generation to go back and watch old episodes.
Shouldn't be. I do it all the time.
For sure, but I grew up with those episodes. You know what I mean? Some of my earliest memories are like my parents like sitting me down and then them just leaving because they knew I'd be very entertained by this show, like age three. And
7 to 8 each night, I think it was on Fox when they were in syndication. It was like Simpsons, Seinfeld. That's what you did.
Yeah. And it was a much simpler, better time. I'm shocked how few people have it in their like top five all-time shows. I saw someone was doing some like bracket for like best shows of the 90s. They didn't even have it fucking on there. I was like, this bracket's null and void. What are you talking about?
Done.
Like, what are you talking? Like, it's clearly
like it's hard to trust someone who doesn't grow up watching The Simpsons or at least have some sort of cultural reference or like get some things, but it's. If you do that, immediately you're in my book. It's like, okay, at least you're a little bit smart. Like, you know shit about fuck a little bit.
Right. Yeah, it's... to me, it's, like, far and away. Like, Game of Thrones, best show of all time. Like, you clearly just just bought a TV today. Like, what are you talking about? Like, maybe the most culturally important television show, the fact that they were yellow, I know that they did it because they just ran out of the color.
Yeah.
But I think that was the most important mistake that's like since penicillin was invented, because it opened it up to like Tyler, a known black guy, like he could relate to it like I could. Just like clearly they were obviously like a middle class white family, but the fact that they weren't white just opened it up to everyone.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yellow, like they're clearly not like Asian people. They have Asians on the show, so it's like it was on Fox, which was this renegade network that just were like, they were like the pirate ship. Like they just showed up. They were like, oh, we're going to have Married with Children. And then we're going to have this cartoon that is just going to blow your fucking head off.
And then I love every time The Simpsons would rip on Fox.
Right.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. Like they openly shit on Rupert Murdoch. Like there were so many. The best part about The Simpsons is if you grew up with them and then you go back and watch them, it's like watching a different show.
There's so many different layers to jokes. And it's just like, oh, and you like kind of start figuring stuff out about like politics and history. You're like, wow, these guys are fucking geniuses. There's levels to this shit.
My father used to get so mad when I was like not studying in like high school and stuff, and he would be asking me questions. And then he would ask me something like Simpsons related, and I'd just roll off the answer, and he would just like flip the table. He's like, how the fuck do you know that? Like, that's the answer. Like, that part of history, like, they were talking about it there. I'd be like, oh, well, why don't you just say that? Like, of course I know that. And it's just truly incredible. Like, we were talking about Wheaties boxes here earlier and like the cultural significance of being on a Wheaties box. Like, does it still hold up? I think it does. I'm a big nostalgia guy. I think like if you're on the Wheaties box, it's a big honor. I don't really care if like anyone likes the cereal or not. Like, it just means a lot. I still think getting drawn into The Simpsons means a lot.
And oh, yeah.
I know they've given that honor away to many, many people, but, like, I think 2 or 3 years ago, Patton Oswalt was on, and he just went on, like, a huge rant on Twitter, like, freaking out. He's like, I can't believe I'm on The Simpsons. Like, this is the biggest honor I've ever gotten. And even other shows like Rick and Morty, which has become, like, the biggest show on, or biggest cartoon on TV right now.
You say as wearing a dope-ass Scary Terry sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Oh, shouts to Gunna Man. His album came out today. Terry Rozier's
did
boy.
Did it get launched?
It did launch today. Tito has one verse on it, and he's completely auto-tuned. It's fantastic.
I need to listen to that.
Listed as Chum. So not doesn't say Terry Rozier, but the real people will know it's there.
They do. That was one of my funniest interview moments with anyone was when he said Chum, paused, smiled, and then said with a K. I was like, this is...
Him and his crew, like the GMB, are so committed to it. Like every single tweet, they will not have a C.
Yeah.
And to me, that says that they're bloods, but I'm not going to reach any conclusions.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now. This is all foreign to me. But I, like Rick and Morty, I found out about because after one season, Matt Groening called Dan Harmon and I'm blanking on the actual creator of the show. But he called them and he was like, we want you to do a couch gag. And they were like freaking out. They're like, you want us to do a whole couch gag? And then I watched the couch gag. I was like, I don't know what this is, but it looks intriguing as fuck. And now it's one of my favorite shows ever.
Yeah.
Which is becoming tough because of all the fucking dickheads.
Yeah. People on the internet just know how to ruin things real quickly.
They're like, it's a cartoon. Yeah, I get it's based on science fiction. It doesn't make you smart for watching.
No, just because they go to different universes, just because they make things up doesn't make you smart.
Just they throw the word multiverse around and people are like, oh, I have a PhD now. Like, no, dude. Like, it's a very funny show. It's well written. It's witty. It's not making you smart.
No, but I would argue The Simpsons, like, definitely made me more culturally aware.
Absolutely.
Of just, like, everything.
When you become older, you're like, oh, yeah, this was written by, like, Harvard grads. Like, it becomes very apparent when they're making, like, when Homer's quoting, like, all of these, like, philosophers. And, like, as a kid, like, it just sounds like words. And then when you're an adult, you're like, holy shit.
I actually got the chance when I was in L.A. The current executive producer of The Simpsons went to my high school.
Really?
And so he spoke at our graduation, and I was also speaking at the graduation, and he... he called me gay in front of the entire graduation as a good goof. It was a funny line. He was like, in college, it's a great time to go gay, but it's also a great time to go straight. Right, Sam? And it's a good line. And anybody apparently he was mortified because parents complained and shit like that. So I slid into his DMs when I was in LA, like, remember when you called me gay? Like, can I just come visit the Simpsons studios? And so I got to go and just hang out there. And it's just, I go into the writer's room and it's just probably a room a little bit bigger than this, and it's just a bunch of nerds hanging out. And it's these are just very smart, nerdy people. I actually got to meet the dude who invented the phrase embiggens.
Oh, really?
That was pretty cool. I was talking about Cromulent or something.
I was going to say, that guy wasn't there, the Cromulent guy.
The Cromulent guy wasn't there, so I was a bit disappointed, but they're just a bunch of nerdy dudes who are very committed to jokes, and it's just this is exactly what I wanted it to be.
Have you ever watched the Serious Jibber Jabber, where Conan's just talking with a bunch of old Simpsons writers?
It's just a round table type thing? Yeah, I think I've seen that.
Yeah, I watch it probably once a month, bare minimum. And it's just crazy, these guys are, and obviously, some of the heavy hitters aren't there who are responsible, but still, those guys are just, and some of the guys still work on the show, and it's we kind of just casually write, the funniest, most important TV show of all time.
Do you have a go-to phrase or thing that you just, say to yourself that's a Simpsons thing?
I mean,
obviously, everyone has, if you're actual Simpsons fan, you have a bunch of them, but for me, it's anytime I park her car, I just go, remember, we're in the itchy lot. And when I had a girlfriend, she was furious every single time I said that. But it's just my natural instinct to anytime I park a car.
It's probably not a phrase. It's just more shaking my fist. Yeah. It's probably shake harder boy from the Lemon of Troy episode when they steal the lemon tree back and the Bizarro Homer and Bart are chasing after him, and they just stand, shake harder, boy, and they both just shake much harder. It's, I would say I'm just a very unoriginal fuck in the sense that most of the things I say are just Simpsons.
Well, that was the thing. I was watching my girlfriend, or ex-girlfriend, was she never watched Simpsons, and so I would make her watch, and then she would slowly realize that all the things that I said were just like, oh, you didn't come up with that? Like, it was like, no, it was like, yeah. Clearly, I never claimed I did, right. But apparently it's just entirely my, like, lexicon.
Yeah, no, when you, like, just talking with Simpsons, like, fans, it's easy to, like, see, like, oh, yeah, we all have these same beats, and, like, these same things make us laugh, and I don't know, it's, I went to, before I moved here, it was, like, the year before I moved here, my boy lived in Brooklyn, and I was visiting him, and was like, oh, we have to go to this Simpsons trivia. And I was like, done. Like,
oh, yeah.
Walk in there, mop up. And
you get murdered, dude.
We got slaughtered. I was like,
Simpsons
trivia
is legit.
Here?
I've never been, like, done well. Like, there's some, it's insane. Like, the real crazy Simpsons head. And I think, like, my brother and, like, the, like, he's the one who introduced me to Simpsons. He knows crazy stuff. But, like, I would go with him. And there's some people out there, like, literally, like, in the episode, they were. Itchy played Scratchy's thing as a xylophone.
Like, it was that guy. It was all those people. And, like, it was crazy because, like, it was like you take the paper and then you would pass it to, like, a different team and they would grade it. And I was getting, like, different stuff from that episode that was somehow harder than the question, like, that was asked. And they were giving it to me wrong. I was like, well, clearly you knew what I was talking about. Like, what the fuck? But we finished, like, I don't know. The place was packed. Like, it's good to see that many people still give a fuck. But I was just like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, I thought I knew this shit pretty well, and I know I do, but it was just, like, very humbling experience.
Have you seen the weird memes of, like, or Instagram accounts that are, like, fucked up Celtic, or not, like, Simpsons mashups? Like, they'll take one joke and just smash it into another joke and just create a bunch of confusing shit, mostly talking about steamed hams or, like, Utica.
Steamed hams is become way bigger than I...
It's, like, exploded.
The Simpsons don't get enough credit for being super memeable unto themselves, like Skinner opening the window. It's a lot of Skinner. Like, Skinner, like, Skinner pathetic, like, that became huge. Like, the Simpsons have become super memeable, a thing they couldn't have ever predicted, and they've predicted a lot.
Yeah.
But I saw a video the other day that was the most, like, fucked up thing I ever saw. It was from the summer of 4'2", when Homer, Marge, Milhouse, and Bart are playing, like, that dating, like, board game.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, you got the nerd, and it's, like, the guy with, like, the wilty flower. And then it kept, like, showing that in different scenes and then cutting to, like, Mr. Burns, but it would be, like, with Homer's face, like, doing this, like, really slow smile, and it's honestly haunting me.
Like, there's some fucked up, if you follow the Instagram at Dank Simpsons, it's, like, sometimes it's hilarious, and then sometimes you're like, man, that's fucked up.
Yeah, this one just
I didn't need
being,
to see that.
Like, the one where Homer the Smithers, where he was Mr. Burns, like, Smithers, obviously, and after he attacks him, and he's, like, looking out into the hallway with the mirror, he looked out into the hallway with the mirror, and it was that nerd from the game, and then it cut back to Mr. Burns' face, but with Homer's, like, eyes and mouth over it, doing that, like, weird, slow smile, and I was like, dude, I'm never gonna sleep ever again. Like, this is horrifying.
Ugh, it's amazing what the people of the weird people of the internet can do.
Even, like, the whole Simpsons wave, like, did you hear any of that from, like, 2 summers ago, it was like taking, like, really slow, like, chill wave, like, music.
Oh yeah, I'm setting it
putting
to
it to, like, old Simpsons, like, clips, like, all it was like chopped and screwed Simpsons. It was,
yeah,
it's definitely spawned a very ADD generation of weirdos, and I'm happy to be one of them.
Yeah. All right. I guess I'm taking enough of your time. I'll wrap it up on one question. If you have a go-to episode, like, you open up Simpsons World, what is, like, what are you going to turn to? What is your strategy? I normally try and pick a season, and then I'll, like, roll a dice or something and just try to pick a random season from probably, like, 3 to 11.
Yeah, see, like, I still have, like, I will use Simpsons World on, like, my Apple TV, but I still have, like,
the
all
DVDs.
The DVDs. And so my go-to DVD would be season 6. I think it's disc 3. And that's, like, Homie the Clown, Homer or Bart versus Australia, Lisa on Ice. Like, it's just, like, a heavy hitter, like, 6 in a row. But if I were to, like, go watch an individual episode, it's either going to be, like, Scorpio, You Only Move Twice, or I'm trying to think, like, season 8 I would argue
season 8 is amazing.
Might be like the number one season. And I know a lot of people, well, you talk to some older people, it's like, oh, they fell off after like season 6. It's like, you're a crazy person. And then other people will just throw 10 out there because it's just a round number.
Yeah.
Like The Simpsons was still a very, very, very good show until like 14.
One of my favorite episodes is Behind the Laughter, yeah, which is like the end of the 12th season. Like that one I can watch anytime.
Yeah.
I think my Murderers Row, I think it was like the pretzel one, El Viaje de Nuestro Homer, the chili cook-off.
Yep.
I think also there's the initial Kodos and Kang president and like the Hugo.
Yeah.
For a while, my Tinder bio was too crazy for Boys Town, too much of a boy for Crazy Town, and not one person commented it on the whole time. And I realized, yeah, most people aren't going to get that one.
I think my favorite one-off gag that I wish they had ever brought back, it's when they were trying to find Krusty when Bart knew he was still alive. And
when he's down by the docks?
Yeah, when he was down by the docks and he blows up the Krusty balloon. And he was like, have you seen this man? And he's like, oh, this is, I think he calls him like Whistling Pete. I can't remember.
What is it? It's
Handsome Pete.
Handsome
Pete. And he comes out and he throws a quarter in and he starts playing. And he's like, oh, he's going to go all night now. And it's just this little deformed Krusty. That will always, that stuff like
that. Doesn't
he
walk out later with his accordion like, oh, not now, Pete?
Yeah. It's just like the fact that he never came back ever again after that, like that. That will always kill me.
All right, man. I appreciate you taking the time. This has been fun.
Of course.
Shooting the shit. Huge fan of the show.
Appreciate it.
Keep doing what you're doing. I'll keep listening to your 4-hour podcast because they're entertaining as fuck.
We dropped an hour and a half one earlier this week. People were like, where's the rest of it?
Actually, they were just shocked.
Yeah. It's lose-lose. We can't do anything correct these days. But I appreciate you having us on, or having me on.
Yeah, appreciate you welcoming me into your studio and doing all that. It's been fun.
Yeah. No, any... Like I've ranted enough about Celtics fans, so when I find ones that get it, I try and talk to them because it's becoming more of us, but it's still, for me, I don't let a lot of people in because I just simply do not trust them. So
I'm glad I've made the inner circle then.
Yeah, I appreciate what you, Jay, and John have been doing for representing Celtics fans.
Well, do what I can.
Yeah.
Try it. Appreciate it, man.
Of course.